God help us accept now the good news that God loves us, that Christ died for us, that whosoever will may come, that all manner of sin and blasphemy will be forgiven those who repent and by faith place their hands on the head of the Lamb of God. Do it today again, dear friend. God bless you. The third chapter of Scripture introduced Satan, sin, sorrow, pain, and death. When we come to the chapter that's third from the end, Revelation chapter 20, the third last chapter of Scripture, we see an end made of Satan, and of sin, and of sorrow, and of pain, and of death. Let me read to you from Revelation chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark on their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again till 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. They're the first 6 verses of this 20th chapter. In my 3-volume commentary on the book of Revelation, I've given many, many pages to the subject of the millennium. It is a long-debated topic in theology, and I have no intention of going through all the technicalities of it for radio. Those of you that wish to learn more about it, feel free to write me for information on my own commentary. But what I would have you observe today is that the millennium follows the second coming of Christ. Remember, when the Bible was written, its original writers didn't make chapter divisions. There was no chapter 20 put by John at this stage of the book. The preceding verses mention the second coming of Christ as he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when it speaks at the beginning of chapter 20 of the devil being bound, that's the result of the second coming of Christ. When Christ comes, the righteous dead are raised. It says here in verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. The Bible teaches 2 resurrections. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29 does the same thing. At the coming of Christ, only the righteous dead are raised. Earth is turned into a great cemetery. Jesus had promised that when he came, he'd receive the saints unto himself. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, we're caught up to meet him in the air. The Lord will come to gather his own and take them back to the heavenly mansions for 1,000 years, while the earth lies desolate and Satan has no one to tempt. Then it says in verse 7, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations that are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. A sad conclusion to the history of sin. Because Christ died for all men live again. Even the wicked, who've opposed and rejected the gospel, one day will be resurrected. That is clearly stated in this chapter. Blessed and holy are those that come up in the first resurrection, and the rest of the dead are to come up, says Scripture, at the close of the 1,000 years. And that's how Satan is loosed. Immediately he goes about his own business, and he leads the wicked to pursue that which they had been doing just before their death, in so many cases, attacking the saints. As the New Jerusalem descends from God out of heaven and is poised over the earth, the wicked gather to attack it. Their number is as the sand of the sea. But then appears the throne of God. He pronounces judgment upon those who've rejected the gospel of grace. And fire comes down from God out of heaven and devours them. The wicked are devoured by that fire. They perish amid the ashes of the old world. And the next chapter tells us, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Whoever was not found written in the book of life perishes. Dear friend, we are not saved by our achievements. We are saved by Christ's achievements. If you and I have laid hold of him, that's what matters. At Christ's coming, those who are his own, who've accepted Calvary, are glorified. If they're alive on the earth, they're translated without seeing death. If they're in the grave, they're called forth. And when at the end of the 1,000 years, the great judge condemns those who've rejected his love, because heaven for them would be hell, at that time, whoever's not found written in the book of life is cast into those fires that destroy our sin-scarred world, so that from its ashes may come a new world where only righteousness and joy and peace and gladness and song will be known. We read in the third verse of chapter 21, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And observe the beautiful promise in verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. Dear friend, this doesn't mean the overcoming of perfectionism. The term is a legal term that means to win the battle, to win the conflict, to win the lawsuit. It means that those who trust in the blood of Christ are counted victors. Go back to Revelation 12 and read it there in verses 10 to 12. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. If you're trusting in the merits of Christ, God counts you an overcomer, and you'll inherit all things. And then verse 8 says, but the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Notice it's not eternal life and misery. Separation from God is the penalty of sin, and that will be the second death. Those who've rejected grace, those who turn Christ away, who've hated the message of kindness and mercy, they destroy themselves. They've rejected him who is the life, and so they perish. In the last chapter of the book, we read that John was shown a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street, and on either side of the river, the tree of life that bare 12 manner of fruits. And the leaves of the tree were for the service of the nations. And there'll be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Here's the expression again, in the midst. You remember it was found in the Calvary story, Christ was crucified in the midst of two thieves. In the midst of the street of gold of the New Jerusalem city will be the throne of God and of the Lamb. Dear friend, here at the close of Scripture, God is telling us again that it's because of him who suffered in the midst, it's because of him that we can have life eternal. Towards the close of the chapter, I read in the 17th verse, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that's athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." And so at the close of Scripture, again the word of grace, again the reminder that what we cannot earn, God has given. Dear friend, are you athirst? God says, Come. Have you heard the word of grace? God says, Come. Do you really want to be saved? God says, Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. God grant that you are doing that right now, dear friend. God bless you.